Put your hands together for the Lord this morning. And why don't you just lift up your hand and just begin to thank Him for His unending love and His amazing grace. His unending love, His amazing grace. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for these amazing people. Amen. We're blessed to have an amazing music team, which seems to be full of unending love themselves. Hallelujah. All right, you may be seated this morning. Amen. Yeah. We're just approaching Easter.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
So it's a good time to hear such songs. Yeah. Easter is the most important season on a Christian's calendar.
Wow.
Akosua, yeah. Wow, good to see you again. Wow. It's powerful. Amen. So it's a very important season in every Christian's calendar. Amen. Because it's the crux of the whole matter. Hallelujah. That Jesus came to this earth and that He died for us. Hallelujah. That He came to die, you know. See, the reason why Easter is so important is because for Christ, see, His coming is not as critical as what He came to do. Amen. Because a lot of other people came. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Every other religious leader or founder also came. Do you see? But the big difference between Christ and every other person who came is what Christ came to do. Hallelujah. What a person does in a place makes a big difference as far as explaining His coming is concerned. Amen.
Amen.
So it's a really great time for every Christian, and I want you to take it seriously. Don't let it be just another Easter season just passing by, but I want you to observe it, you know, solemnly, and to think deeply about what it means and to consider whether you are responding appropriately to the message of Easter. Amen.
Amen.
So next week Friday, we're going to have our Easter Friday service in the evening. That's next Friday. That's Good Friday. It's a good Friday. Really good Friday. So we will have that service in the evening here at 7:30 on Good Friday. Amen.
Amen.
Then Easter Sunday is the big day. That is the real deal, because see, the Good Friday begins the deal, but Sunday is where we do the closing. Do you see? Easter Sunday is where you actually possess the whole thing. And that's where we're going to celebrate victory over death and anything that can hold us back. One of the reasons why Jesus conquered death was to show us that if He can handle death, which seems to be about the only thing human beings are not able to handle, you know, when death starts to lay hold on people, there's very little we seem to be able to do about it, isn't it? We can't tell when He's going to strike. We can't tell who He chooses to strike. We're not sure exactly what His appetite is like. And we're not sure who He tends to like. He seems to give practice a true equal opportunities policy unlike many organizations I know. Hallelujah. So he gives everybody an equal opportunity. That's why all people die. All people, 10 out of 10 people die. No matter who they are, race, gender, age, educated, uneducated, everybody dies. But Jesus conquered that particular enemy to show us that between that enemy and any other enemy lesser than that, he has power that spans that range of enemies. Hallelujah. So it's a very wonderful season, and I'm excited about Easter. Hallelujah. So Good Friday, we kind of wear darker clothes just to celebrate the occasion. And then on Sunday, we wear brighter clothes. So Easter Sunday, we wear white. Okay? And then, so if you have a white suit like Paul, the way you know is we're getting nearer to Easter is when we see Paul in his red pants. It's the blood, the blood. So red is also good for Easter occasion. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I just have a short message to share with you. I hope it will be short. I'll try to keep it very short. Amen. But in the last couple of weeks, we've been sharing in this church about tithing, isn't it? And I started by sharing with you 6 reasons why non-tithing Christians become poor. And then Pastor Monene was here last week with another message on tithing. And today I want to take it a little further by sharing with you about the law of sowing and reaping. Hallelujah. Amen. The law of sowing and reaping. Hallelujah. Now, the law of sowing and reaping is a very important Christian law. It's a very important one because it's, and everybody needs to understand it, because it's one of the laws that governs existence on this earth. Now, start with me from Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, we are introduced to the main laws that govern human existence. Hallelujah. Well, that govern this earth. Okay. While the earth remaineth. This is Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. It says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Hallelujah. He says, as long as the earth remains, okay, as long as the earth remains. Now, this scripture occurs after the flood. You know, God made the earth and human beings were around and they were doing many bad things, you know, and then God hit the reset button. Wiped out the hard drive completely. And cleared everybody and left a small operating system called the family of Noah. And then he started reloading from that point. So when God brought the ark to a stop and started over again, the Bible says that one of the laws that God put in place is the one we are reading about here in this verse 22. So he says, let's start from 21. He says, the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things we learn about God from this particular verse is how sometimes you must take a decision not to respond to what people do, which is to, you must take a decision and diagnose that this person or this situation will not change, and I will not let this person change me anymore. Do you see what I'm saying? Because God had destroyed the whole earth because man was bad. Do you see? Then when the ark came to stop and man came out, he saw that the guy is still bad. So he realized that if I follow this guy, I'm going to destroy everything I keep making. Do you see? And there are some people like that. If you follow them, you're going to ruin every good thing in your life. You're going to destroy everything that is working for you. So you need to learn how to come to a place like God did and said, you know, the man has not changed, but I will not keep following this man, and I will not keep following this behavior. And so he says that the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, but I will not smite and destroy the earth again because of him. Hallelujah. So it's a good lesson to learn from God. Amen. That sometimes you just have to, the person hasn't changed, but you have applied ceasefire. You are still the same. You haven't changed. But I will not fight with you anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's what God is doing right here. Clap for God. I think that God is really very powerful here. Amen. Amen. Then right after that, God says, while the earth remaineth, that's as long as this earth continues, he said seed time, that means a time to sow seeds, and then harvest, and then cold and heat, and then summer and winter, and day and night will not cease. Hallelujah. Now we're talking about the law of sowing and reaping. And the first thing I want you to understand is that, or to observe, is the company in which God places the law of sowing and reaping. Hallelujah. And that is, the companions of sowing and reaping are cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. This is the group to which the law of sowing and reaping belongs. That means the law of sowing and reaping is as sure as the law of day and night. Do you see what I'm saying? And it's as strong in its influence on a person's life as day and night. What it means is that if you own a winter jacket, then you better respect the law of sowing and reaping. Because the law that makes people have to buy warm clothing is the same law that requires them to sow and expect them to reap. And much as you believe that if you do not cover yourself or respect the seasons, it will affect you adversely, you also have to believe that if you do not sow the right seeds, it will affect you adversely. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest time, and then cold and heat. Have you felt cold lately? Has anyone felt cold lately? I just came off the plane. I was cold throughout. Hallelujah. Amen. And he says heat. This one, you just remain in LA for the next 2 weeks. You will understand what it means. Hallelujah. Amen. Then he says winter and what? And summer. Summer and winter. And then day and night will never cease. Hallelujah. So that means if you take any of the other components here seriously, you must take the first one also very seriously. If you believe that day and night affects you, if you have a time of the day when you rise up and a time of the day when you go to bed, if you feel like your life is regulated by day and night, the changes in the time of the day, if your life is regulated somehow by that, then you must also believe that your life is regulated by what you sow and what you get to harvest. Hallelujah. Does it make sense? Yeah. You have to believe it, that perhaps your life as it is now is largely the way it is because of what you have sown or what you have not sown. Amen. What you have sown or what you have not sown. You see, sometimes you see people during the day feeling very sleepy. Have you been in that situation before? It's like it's broad daylight, but you are falling asleep. You know, I saw a clip on, I think it was on Facebook the other day, where a man was standing I think it was a train or so, and he was holding on to the thing. This guy was so helplessly sleepy, you know, and these days, if you sleep in the wrong place, someone's cell phone is going to get you. Yeah. And so some naughty people sitting in the same train had taken a video of this man as he stood there, I mean, holding onto the thing and literally dropping. You see that he's very, very tired. Do you understand? But what it is that people who do not respect or have to, or sometimes are compelled to, maybe because of the work they do or, you know, whatever. But when you skip the night, you don't seem to be able to continue in the day. You are still, the night is going to require you to pay your price. Do you see what I'm saying? It is either you pay it when it's due, or it's going to send collectors after you during the day. Yeah. So that is how come, you see, it's 9 o'clock when other people are starting and are beginning their day and they are bubbly and full of energy and life, and you seem to be winding down, although it's only 10 o'clock in the morning. Wow. It's because you owe from the night before. The point here is that when God makes a law, no one skips it. Hallelujah. No one gets to skip the laws that govern this earth. And one of those laws is the law of sowing and reaping. Hallelujah. You do not qualify to reap if you do not sow. And if you sow the wrong things, you reap the wrong things. But if you sow the right things, you also reap the right things. Because he says, as long as this earth remains, where is it? He says, while the earth remaineth, if the earth is still around, these four laws will never cease. It will always be the case that there will be cold somewhere, there will be heat somewhere. Always be the case that there will be day and night. There will be winter and summer. And then there will be what? Seed time and harvest time. Can I have an amen? Amen. So, number one or number two, you must plant something. Hallelujah. The law of sowing and reaping. Number one, you must plant something. Hallelujah. John chapter 12 and verse 24, the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Amen. If it die, it bringeth forth what? Much fruit. Hallelujah. So what I'm saying here in this point is that you have to respect the law of sowing and reaping enough to make you want to plant something. Amen. Amen. Plant something. By all means, plant something. No one is excused from planting anything. Not even those who seem not to have. When a person doesn't have, they can't plant anything. But that also means they cannot harvest anything. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. It also means you cannot harvest or you are not entitled to any harvest. So you must actually have a seed and sow it. You must always plant a seed. Everybody's life must be loaded every day with seeds. When you go out of your house, God actually fills your pocket with seeds. And then he leaves you to choose what you want to do with those seeds. Some people go out and come back having planted nothing. And they come back with their seeds. And others go out and plant many seeds. Seeds of kindness, seeds of favor, seeds of help, even money, giving. People plant so many different seeds. But some people go through the entire day and they have not planted anything. They haven't done anything that guarantees that a harvest or a positive harvest of some sort will come back to them at the end of the day. And that is a dangerous way to live. Hallelujah. That is a dangerous way to live. The more spiritual you are, the more conscious you become of this law of sowing and reaping. And the more conscious you become of the fact that the life you're living today has everything to do with what you can expect tomorrow. Hallelujah. Yeah. If you plant seeds of anger, seeds of bitterness, seeds of wickedness, meanness. Hey, some people can be really wicked. Even when there's nothing to get out of it. Hallelujah. We need to be very, very careful with that. Amen. So plant something. Plant something. Let planting be a habit of yours. Always take the opportunity to plant something. Before you go to bed at the end of the day, ask yourself, what did I plant today? Amen. What did I plant today? And it can be anything, even something as simple as a phone call to someone. It's a seed. An encouraging word to another person is a seed. Even a compliment that you make to someone is a seed. And you're going to reap it. Hallelujah. If you don't plant it, you will not reap it. Everyone must plant a seed every day. Hallelujah. So tell your neighbor, plant something. Tell him you must begin to plant something every day. Hallelujah. Now, the second point is that you must plant in good ground. You must plant in good ground. Hallelujah. The Bible says about the parable of the sower that some seed fell on good ground and brought forth, you know, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 8. It says, but other fell on good ground. Say good ground. Good ground. He says, other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Hallelujah. It says, the ones that fell into good ground brought forth 100-fold. That means 100% return, 60-fold, and then 30-fold. Hallelujah. Amen. So it is important also to note that you need to plant into good ground. Good ground is simply ground that makes good use of the seed you put in there. Ground that brings forth good return of the seed that you put in there. Hallelujah. That is what makes a good church good ground. Hallelujah. Our church is very good ground for sowing good seeds. Hallelujah. For sowing financial seeds, for sowing seeds of love, for sowing seeds of prayer. For, you know, if you pray for this church and the church becomes what it's supposed to be, you will find that it becomes your shelter one day. Amen. 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 It becomes your shelter one day. You know, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field. which indeed is the least of all seeds. Then he says, but when it is grown, it becomes a tree. Hallelujah. It becomes a tree, which means if you put your seed in a good place, what you can expect out of that seed is a tree. Hallelujah. Amen. Not the seed you put there, but a tree that is able to. Are you bringing that verse? Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31. It says, it becomes a tree and the tree now begins to provide shelter and protection and becomes a blessing to you. Hallelujah. That is why you shouldn't take small churches for granted. And you shouldn't disrespect or disregard a church because it is small. Because it is small things that become big things. Amen. When God is in it, it starts small, but its future is not small. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. When God is in it, it starts small. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And then the next verse, 32, it says, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches. So this is what you miss when you disregard that small seed. You see, so when you don't respect that little seed and you don't do with it what you are supposed to do, which is to sow it, you know, then this is what you miss. You miss the greatest among herbs. You miss the tree. You miss the place where the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. You miss all of that because you didn't respect the seed. Can I have an amen? Amen. So I want to encourage you all to sow seeds into this church. Amen. 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 And when you pay your tithe or give your offerings, it's all a type of seed that you are sowing. Even your presence here is a seed. As you keep coming here and as you keep coming, the church keeps forming. That is a seed. And that is a blessing. When you help something to work, you've sown a seed. You have sown a seed when you help something that otherwise would not survive without your help. When you help that thing to come into existence, you have sown a seed, which you can expect to reap. Hallelujah. You can expect to reap. That is why all parents have a right to expect a blessing from their children. Yeah. Because it's a seed that you have sown. You've poured your life into their lives. You know, you've poured so much into their lives. You have a right to expect great blessing, powerful blessings. Look at what is becoming. It becometh a tree. A tree. Amen. Amen. I have a right to expect each of my children to become a tree. Yeah. What do you think? Yeah. I have a right to expect each of them to become a tree. Yeah. I have a right to expect a Maserati from each one of them. Yeah. Blue for Monday, red for Tuesday, yellow for Wednesday. Yeah. Then I go over it again. Hallelujah. Because I have sown, I can expect to reap. The little seed, it becomes a tree. You know, if you knew that that little thing that you have in your hand is going to become a tree, would you throw it away? Because a tree is so vastly different from the seed that created it. A seed is so small that you can easily neglect handling it and sowing it. And yet, when you miss out on that opportunity, it is a great blessing you are missing. Hallelujah. So you see, people who don't pay their tithe, people who don't give offerings and who don't do things like that, do not realize often what they are missing. That what you're doing is denying yourself of a tree. A tree that will be in your life that keeps giving, especially in your seasons of dryness. Hallelujah. He says, it becometh, it is the greatest among herbs. What was Jesus doing one day? Hallelujah. It becomes a tree. He says, when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs. It becometh a tree so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Hallelujah. One day your seed will house you. One day your seed will accommodate you. Amen. One day the seeds you have sown will be the basis for qualifying for protection from the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't neglect sowing seeds. Make sure you sow seeds. Amen? Amen. Now the next thing is you must plant large amounts of seed. You must plant large amounts of seed. Now, the nature of seed is such that they are very easily destroyed. And the process of maturing into a harvest is such a delicate process that not all seeds make it from beginning to the end. Do you see? Because seeds are vulnerable. You know, see these birds of the air that are coming to perch in the branches. These birds that are coming to perch here may have eaten some of those same seeds earlier. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's the seeds that worked that are actually, or that have actually become a tree to protect them. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things people do is they do sow seeds, but they do not sow enough seeds. They do not sow enough seeds to have a good harvest. But you see that the law of the seed, most trees that have seeds have multiple seeds, because to be able to reproduce after its kind, there needs to be more than one seed. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because not all seeds are viable. Not all seeds make it from the beginning to the end. Do you see? And so you need to plant a lot of seeds. You see, even trees that have fruits that have only single seeds tend to have multiple fruits, so that the tree will have multiple chances of reproducing itself. The ones that have multiple seeds sometimes don't have a lot of fruit. Or the ones that don't have a lot of fruit have a lot of seeds in one of them. So if you look at, let's say, a maize plant or so, there'll probably be only, you know, two or three cobs on per stem or tree, isn't it? Just a couple of them. But each of those has a lot of seeds. Because seeds are such that if you go with one, you are likely to come with nothing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So when you look at the fruits like mangoes that have just one seed in the middle, the tree has to have so many of them so that it doesn't miss the chance of reproducing a harvest. Hallelujah. So God is showing us that the way seeds work is that you don't just put all your baskets, all your eggs in one basket, as in you plant one seed and you think that that is it. No. You need to plant more. Hallelujah. It needs to be a lifestyle. You need to do it today. You need to do it tomorrow. The Bible says, in the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, withhold not your hand. Because how do you know whether this or that? Because the truth is, some seeds do not work. Hallelujah. Some seeds do not work. Either they were planted in the wrong place, or even the seed itself is faulty. One of the ways a seed gets faulty is the motive for which it was planted. You see, sometimes you're planting a seed, but for a very selfish reason. It looks like you're helping him, but you're actually helping yourself. You're doing something for someone, but the reason why you're doing it is not because you want to help them, but sometimes you want to be seen to be helping someone. So yes, you did plant a seed of helping someone, but the seed is corrupted by the motive. So you put it out there, but nothing is coming out of it. So the Bible says, when you sow in the morning, give me that verse, in the morning, sow thy seed. Then in the evening, withhold not your hand. Don't say that I sowed in the morning, so in the evening is enough. It's because he says, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper. You don't know which of the seeds will actually work. Either this or that. Or whether they both are like good. So they may both work. Do you see? They may both work. Or perhaps one or the other may work. So you need to expand your options and give yourself a wider a range of opportunities to succeed with your seed by planting multiple seeds. Say amen.
Amen.
Plant large amount of seeds. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Because you actually sowed sparingly, and so you reap also sparingly. It means your harvest is always affected by the seeds that you sowed. Hallelujah. So sow more seeds. You need to sow large amounts of seeds because you don't know which one will work. Hallelujah. Right? So number four, some seeds will be lost. Some seeds will be lost. Like I said, some seeds are corrupted by the motives that sowed the seed. You know, so they just don't work. And in the story of the sower, the parable of the sower, Mark chapter 4 and verse 3, the Bible says, a sower went out to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And then it just didn't work. Hallelujah. Later on, Jesus explains the story and he tells us what happens to each one of them. Do you see? Let's go to the story again. He says, some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. And then the next verse, verse 6. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Then the next one, verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Do you see? Then other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. You know, so it looks like your seed must make it through all these phases. You have to plant enough seeds to survive all these hazards along the way to having a harvest. Hallelujah. Amen. And what are the hazards? Jesus explained them to us further in the story. You know, can you move the story up? And he said unto them, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about with him, the 12, asked him of the parable. And verse 11 says, he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Then he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables? This is the most basic of parables. You have to get this one. If you don't get this one, how can you get the others? You know? So he begins to explain. The sower soweth the word. Then he says, these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word, the seed. Hallelujah. Then another one, verse 17, he says, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, you know, and they have no root in themselves, so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. You see, so you can see that just because you planted something doesn't mean the harvest is coming. Are you getting it? So many things happen. But if you plant enough, your seed will go all the way to the end and you will still have something at the end of the day. Hallelujah. So plant more seeds. Plant more seeds, because some seeds will never make it to the end. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Then let me give you one last point before I close. It says you must plant the type of seeds you expect. Hallelujah. You must plant the type of seeds you expect. That means whatever you want to reap is what you must sow. Hallelujah. If you want people to be kind to you, you have to be kind to sow the kinds of seeds that you would like to reap. One day Jesus said, whatsoever ye would have men do unto you, do likewise unto them. Whatever you want people to do to you, you do it to them. So that essentially means you design your life. You design your life and design and determine your experiences by what you do to other people. Amen. When you are non-responsive and callous and insensitive to other people, people will also be callous, non-responsive, and insensitive to you. There is a verse in the book of Proverbs that says, anyone who stops his ear at the cry of others will himself also cry and not be heard. When other people are crying, and then you just stop your ears, you don't want to hear it. You close your eyes to their cry. You pretend you cannot see that they are crying. You pretend you cannot see what they are going through. The Bible says you will also cry. Perhaps not for the same reason, but all crying is crying. And they are typically caused by the same feeling. Hallelujah. Yeah. So it may not be the same experience bringing us to the feeling, but nevertheless, we arrive at the feeling, and that feeling never fails to produce the tears. Hallelujah. And so he says, anyone who stops his ear at the cry of the poor, he shall also cry himself and not be heard. Can I have an amen? So you see that your life is pretty much the way it is because of what you have done for and to others. So the way forward to a great life is also to be one who sows good seeds in people's lives. And that will be a blessing to you. Hallelujah. The Bible says every seed will bring forth after its kind. Seeds just bring forth after his kind. You cannot plant oranges and expect to reap coconuts. Apples never become oranges. They will only become apples and lots of them. Hallelujah. Anything you plant, you're just going to get lots and lots and lots of that. So sometimes unending trouble is because of unending planting of trouble. Do you see? Yeah? Sometimes people talk about you a lot because you talk about other people all the time. Hallelujah. People are not kind to you because you are not kind to anybody. People do not sacrifice for you because you don't sacrifice for anybody. People do not give to you because you don't give anything to anyone. And as for giving in particular, you see, the thing is that for anybody to put anything in your hand has to be open. But when your hand is so busy protecting what is in it, it is often too closed to receive what is coming. Hallelujah. So when it comes to giving, it is the open hand that actually gets something. But if you refuse to open your hands because you don't want to lose anything. You see some people, they only give out what they don't want. That's the bad seeds. You know, it is like a farmer who looks at his seeds and selects the ones that have holes in them. And then goes to plant those ones because he wants to eat the ones that don't have holes in them. Keep those for himself. Well, he's in for a surprise. Because when harvest time comes, he will find out all the seeds he planted were not good. He won't get anything out of it. Hallelujah. Then finally, your seed must die. Amen. The verse we read in John chapter 12 and verse 24 says, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Hallelujah. When something dies, or when a seed decomposes, it means you don't have any more claim to it. You cannot go back and fetch it. It's no longer good for you. You can't do anything with it. Hallelujah. And so you let it go. You disconnect yourself from the seed as something you can benefit from. Hallelujah. Now, one of the mistakes we make with seeds is that we plant them, but we never disconnect from them. The seed never dies. We still think of it as belonging to us. Sometimes we even wish that the people will not use them and bring them back to us. So you have planted it. It's gone away from you, but it's not dead. Hallelujah. When something dies, it means it is of no use to you. You cannot personally benefit from it anymore. Hallelujah. So learn to allow your seeds to die. Hallelujah. When you give, allow your seed to die. When you give to the church, allow your seed to die. Don't let your eye keep following the offering basket to see where is it going. Hallelujah. Sometimes some people can look very far and they keep looking and staring at their seed, and they see it in everything in the church. Wow. When the pastor has a new pair of shoes, there goes my seed. The pastor is wearing my seed. Hallelujah. They can see their seed in everything. It's in the flag, it's here, it's there. And sometimes they look out for them and can't find them. So how come we give the seed and we don't have a microphone? Where is the seed? You know, they are looking everywhere and looking around for the seed. But let your seed die. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen? Just let your seed die. Hallelujah. See, when you give money in the name of helping God to someone who says he's God's servant, and you give it to God, and that person chooses to do something else with it, do you see what I'm saying? God has a way of getting that person into more trouble than you will ever be able to do. Hallelujah. And we have to believe in that. We have to believe that God knows how to hold his servants accountable for things they have taken that otherwise belong to him. If you don't believe that much in God, you shouldn't be serving him. Amen. So you should believe in God. Believe that God has the ability to really hold his servants accountable for what they collect on his behalf. Amen. Amen. So have faith in God and just leave. When you give your seed, let it die. Amen. When you give anything to someone, a gift, let it die. Sometimes you give a gift to someone and you're angry that they didn't wear it. It means the seed is not dead. I mean, the seed is so alive. You're not talking to them. You're not talking to them anymore because they are not wearing the seed. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Hallelujah. But you can't do that. Amen. When you bless something, when you bless someone with something, it has, that thing has joined his world of resources and allow him to do with it what he wants to do. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So if he decides he also wants to give it to another person as a gift, that's up to him. But your seed has gone and it's dead, and you just sit back and wait for your harvest. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. So don't follow people around to see what they are doing with your seed. Just leave them alone. Hallelujah. You planted it. It's gone, it's gone, it's gone. Lift up your eyes to God and expect the reward from him. Hallelujah. God is the one who makes seeds grow. God will make your seed grow. God will put life in that seed, and he will cause it to bring back a blessing to you. Let me close with this verse we read on Wednesday, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, knowing this, that whatsoever good thing a man does, do you see? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 8. Whatsoever good thing a man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Amen. That whatever a person does, knowing this, can we read this verse together? Okay, everybody read it. 1, 2, 3, go. Knowing this, the same, one more time, please. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says, whatever good thing anyone does. So do good things. Hallelujah. Don't allow the evil acts of people to make you do bad things. You see, that's what God refused to be led by in the verse we read about Noah. God said, I will not follow these people. Do you see? Don't allow the bad things people do to you to make you stop doing good things. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says, whatever good thing any man doeth, the same. Because remember, we said the seed will be the same as what he planted. Said the same shall he receive of the Lord. Whether he be bond or free means it doesn't depend on him. It depends on God. So God will bless you. Keep sowing. Hallelujah. Keep sowing seeds. Don't let a day go by without you having sown some seed. Sow some seed somehow. Find a way of doing something good every single day of your life. And you would have designed a great life for yourself because you would have scheduled many harvests of good experiences, many harvests of good things, many harvests of great favors because of the favors you have done for others. Can I have an amen? Amen. I think my message is concluded. You can stand to your feet, please, and let's share the grace and let's pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Lamech, we're planting good seeds. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray. Everybody bow your heads and let's pray and ask God to help us to recognize the seeds we have in our lives and in our hands every single day. Sometimes we miss great opportunities. Great opportunities that God gave to us to sow seeds, but we miss them. We miss them. And we don't realize that we have lost a tree. We've lost much more than a little opportunity. We've lost the harvest that opportunity would have brought. That's what we've lost. So I want you to pray this morning and say, Lord, help me not to miss any more opportunities. Help me not to miss the seeds that you give me. And help me not to be tired of sowing. Help me not to be tired of sowing seeds, but help me to sow and to keep sowing and to keep sowing and to keep sowing. Because knowing that God will give it back to me. He said he will of the Lord reap his reward. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we are grateful today for your encouragement in the word to sow good seeds. We are thankful to you. We pray, Lord, that you will bless our lives with even more seeds to sow. Grant us to have more opportunities, oh God, to sow more seeds, opportunities to bless your work, opportunities to bless your people, opportunities to bless and encourage your children in the name of Jesus. Let all these seeds be sown on a daily basis by us so that we can schedule harvests, endless harvests. In the day of evil, may we have enough harvests to make us not even feel the impact of the evil day. In the name of Jesus, bless your people, O God, as they go forth into this week. Let it be a week of sowing seeds. Let every day see them sowing seeds. Let every day come with benefits and opportunities to sow even more seeds, so that our lives will be enriched by our harvest. We thank you so much for your blessing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I want everybody just to say with me this morning, this prayer. You're here this morning and you want to rededicate your life to Christ, especially as we move into the week of Easter. This is the week where Jesus gave himself for us. This is the week in which he allows himself to be beaten, to be mishandled and eventually killed by human beings he created. But the Bible says he did it all for you. He did it all for you. It was a seed he sowed himself, and he deserves the harvest of that seed. And that harvest is your life being fully dedicated to him. That harvest, the Bible says, he was slain to take away the sins of the world. That is the harvest he can expect to reap. That you and I will no longer continue to walk about in our sins, but that his blood will wash us and cleanse us and set us free from our sins. I want you to say this prayer with me this morning, but with meaning, as a prayer that is coming from you to God. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I thank you for taking my place. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me. Today I come to you asking for forgiveness. Let your blood wash me and let your blood cleanse me. Say, Lord Jesus, there is salvation only in your name. There is salvation only in your blood. So I apply your blood to my life. I rededicate my life to you. I give myself to you all over again. And I say, Lord, have your way in my life. I want to live for you, Jesus. I want to live for you, Jesus. I want to respond appropriately to your love. I want to respond appropriately to your love. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Amen. Father, thank you for everyone here today who said this prayer with meaning. You know all of us, and you know our hearts, and you know where we are in relation to you. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless us with a dedicated life, with a life that shows appreciation for what you have done for us. Thank you for Easter, and thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.